Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, football never sleeps right here on Football Full Circle, right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 159. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz talking all things NFL, college, USFL, you name it. We'll be here for the next hour. Some news and notes around the NFL leads to the combine. Two SEC players, Derek Stingley, the cornerback out of LSU, and quarterback from Ole Miss, Matt Corral, will not participate in the combine this month. We'll see how they fare in the upcoming draft. Both players are top 20 selections, so we'll see how that plays out. Replace Baker Mayfield. That is the news and notes surrounding Cleveland right now. The organization came out and said, George, that they would explore every option at the quarterback position, whether that means it's Baker Mayfield or someone else. We'll have to see. The Browns did not make the playoffs this year, limped to an 8-9 overall record. We'll see who's under center in the fall of 2022. And then the news with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers being the first NFL team, George, to travel to Germany this year and play in a game. And we saw NFL teams like the Green Bay Packers and like others that will be playing in England this year. But now Germany for the Tampa Bay Bucs. Any thoughts about maybe the repercussions or the residual effects about how this can maybe affect the team moving forward throughout the regular season and, in fact, maybe a playoff run?
Well, I don't think playing in Germany affects anything any more or any less than playing in England, right? Same thing. Massive time zone changes. I think it's idiotic. I think this is fine in baseball, hockey, basketball. That's fine over, 80-game season, 162-game season. Not a big deal here. But in football, not having one less home game is important. That's 1/9 or 1/8 of your schedule, depending on which conference you're in. That's a big game here to miss here, where you don't have your home fans and that advantage. So, no, I don't like it. I never have liked it. And then, the team has to decide, okay, we're going to take the bye week the week after. We're going to wait till later in the season, like the Dolphins did this season. Is there an advantage there, a disadvantage, way it may work out? I don't like it. It has nothing to do with playing in England or playing in Germany or playing anywhere else, place else for that matter. I don't care. Game's a game. But I think it's a major disadvantage to those teams. They're never going to get to, Joe, where all 32 teams are going to play at least once overseas, in which case that would be fair that if they did that. You're not going to have 16, 17 international games. So I'm just not a big fan of it at all. I think it's unfair to the teams.
Yeah, but it has to do with exposure, right, in terms of building the brand for the NFL. That's why they're marketing to right. But here's the bigger question. When the NFL made this decision that it was the Tampa Bay Bucs, any buying into the fact that maybe Tom Brady was still under center for the Buccaneers? I mean, now you got a has-been quarterback, Blaine Gabbert, potentially Kyle Trask, a second-year starter, if the Bucs go that route, without having the marquee quarterback to maybe draw in fans to watch a seven-time Super Bowl champ. That hurts the league in terms of viewership, no?
It does, but how do you convince certain teams? Everything is supposed to be playing over there, but how do you convince certain teams who just built? How do you convince the Rams, who just spent, a billion plus on a new stadium, to give up one of those home games to go play in England, go play in Germany, whatever it might be? How do you convince them? Well, you just spent a couple of billion dollars here. Now, I'm not even going to use it for a game? It seems silly. I mean, like I said, you only have 8 or 9 home games anyway, not counting the preseason, and then you're going to move over. I said, to me, it's just nuts. It's just, I understand it. The NFL is all about money. Winning is secondary to the NFL. They can say all they want. It's secondary. They do so many things that screw up competitive balance that it is what it is here. But me as a fan, I don't like it. And why do certain teams never seem to play there? And so how many, Joe, what was the last time we had a good marquee game there in England? Oh, wow, can't wait to watch that game. No.
Well, I will say that, wait a second now, the game that came down to the wire in terms of Jacksonville and Miami, where the
field goal. That is not a marquee game or anywhere near close.
But it was a good play game in the sense.
I said marquee game. Marquee game, which means that they're not giving up any of their Sunday night games, any of their big games, any of their 4 o'clock late afternoon Sunday games. You never get that. Have we ever seen an England game where it's been, oh, got to watch this. This is the game of the week. Or even anywhere near close to the game of the week. No.
I mean, I think Jacksonville has played in the most London games since they started doing it. That was heading into last year's game against
Miami. They treat it as a home game for them, so yes, they have.
Right. So think about that in terms of where Jacksonville has been from a franchise organization. Now, Green Bay will be making their first trip to London this year, and it brings up the question about Aaron Rodgers. $50 million man, George, do you buy into that with potentially Washington? I mean, what do you think about the Aaron Rodgers situation?
$50 million, listen, quarterbacks are already making above 40, right? So, if he wants 50, 3 years, I don't know if it's like the 3 years 150, but maybe 3 years 140 plus. So you're talking, 48 and change, somewhere around there. Yeah, I think he's going to be the highest paid quarterback at the end of this, not via contract. That'll still be Mahomes, who had close to a $500 million. But as far as on an AAV, yeah, I think that'll be Rodgers when all is said and done. I still think he's going to stay in Green Bay. I'm not saying this guaranteeing it by any means. I just don't see a I don't think Green Bay wants to move on from him. I'm not sure Rodgers wants to move on right now. Although you and I did talk last week. You brought it up, actually. Pittsburgh does make some sense here if they're willing to make that kind of move.
Yeah, George and I are just getting started. We'll be breaking down the AFC and the NFC next. Give us a call, 844-843-6879, 844-843-6879. Coming right back. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Back on Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz breaking down the situation in terms of teams playing overseas. We mentioned that Tampa Bay will be playing the first game in Germany. But let's get our great producer Andrew Torres' take about the Aaron Rodgers situation, because I am a little intrigued about, differing opinions, George, in terms of what you feel Rodgers is worth. And, Gabe brought this up, and I saw a tweet on Gabe, and I have to agree with them in terms of a lot of the players at the end of their careers, Brady, some of the others that are older quarterbacks that potentially want to win a championship, they take a pay cut or they do whatever they can, right, to win, to put the organization into a better position. Not the case with Rodgers. It's all about me. Like, I need mine, I want mine, and I deserve it because of the amount of time and the numbers that I put up. So, Andrew, give me your take about that, and then we can get gentleman George Kurtz's take about, is Rodgers selfish or not?
I think he's seen a lot of different things. Tom Brady got what he wanted. He left New England, and he was able to play in Tampa Bay, and he won a Super Bowl the first year he was in Tampa Bay, and he had a lot of success. And you kind of see this in other sports too, particularly basketball. In the NBA, you see a lot of the players dictating where and when and what it is that they're doing, and they don't want to play for a particular team anymore. Okay, well then I'll just do whatever it takes to leave, and then I'll just get whatever I want. And I think Aaron Rodgers is kind of in this place where he's like, he's had a really long, for the most part, successful run in Green Bay. He won a Super Bowl, although it was a number of years ago. And I think ultimately for him, it's just about getting what he wants. He had his Hall of Fame career in Green Bay and everything like that. And now I think in his mind, he just wants the best opportunity either to win or Super Bowl or whatever it takes. But he's, I don't know if it's selfish, you can say, because, athletes are going to do whatever they want. But I think at the end of the day, he just wants what's best for him at this point in his career, especially at the age of, 38 or 39 or something like that?
Yeah, he's a baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
George?
Do I think he's being selfish? No, I don't think that's the word I would use, although it's not the wrong word either. I do think he's a narcissist. I do think he likes attention. I almost equate Rodgers to this. Now, he's made enough money. He's, whatever money he makes now, he's never going to spend that in his life. I equate it to, you know, take your favorite TV show, whatever, through the decades here. And then all of a sudden, the actor leaves. And the show's doing well. Top 10 in the ratings. Everything's great, but the actor, an actor leaves. And you always hear, well, you know, I want to do something different. You know, maybe they were doing a drama, now they want to do comedy. I always think it's the same thing here. Rodgers knows he's made the money. He's been in Green Bay forever. He wants to see what else is out there. Just do something a little different. You know, have a little slice of different pie here. That's what I feel. He gets a little bored with Green Bay. Maybe it's the fact that it can't be the fact that he's known wherever he goes in Green Bay. That's not going to change anyway. You're a quarterback or whatever team. You're going to make $40-plus million a year. You're going to be known. You know, so I always think he's just a little bored, but I think he likes the attention as well. I think he loves the fact that we're all talking about him. And he wants to see, oh, how many teams want me? I think he sort of feeds off that. Oh, they all want me. You know, we all know people who need the attention. And that's what I feel like what Rodgers wants here. I just think in the end, he is smart enough to realize, you know, if I go to the AFC, no matter where I go, I got to deal with Mahomes. I got to deal with Herbert. I got to deal with Burrow. I got to deal with Josh Allen. That's no fun. Where in the NFC, there's not much to deal with. You know, and, you know, we don't know, well, is Wilson still going to be with Seattle? Is he still going to be in the NFC? And now we're hearing all the noise about Kyler Murray today, and he wants out, or he wants a contract extension. We'll see how that works out here. He's not worried about Dak Prescott or Hurts in the in the East. He's got nobody to worry about in the South. I think he knows. He's starting to realize, you know, maybe Green Bay's not so bad. Worst case scenario is I go to the playoffs every year. Maybe we don't win, but I go there every year. It's not all that difficult. I know I'm winning the NFC North.
Yeah, see, this is the issue I have with that situation with Green Bay. I understand. If he is getting tired of Green Bay and he wants a different route, is he really going to go to Denver, which Peyton Manning did that, right, and walk in the footsteps? Brett Favre, at the end of his career, went to Minnesota. Remember, he had Minnesota on the heels. They were right there. They were on the fringe of a possible Super Bowl before they get knocked off by New Orleans, right? I mean, that was Brett Favre. Brett Favre had that team humming back in the day. So don't you want to carve out your own legacy? You don't want to. You think you're one of the best quarterbacks all time, even though you only have one Super Bowl to show for it. Green Bay's a 13-1 shot on FanDuel to win it all. Why not go to a team that, you know what, really doesn't have a lot and make them better? I mean, Tom Brady went from New England, where the quality of wide receivers and the skill talent were basically pedestrian, right? And then he goes to Tampa Bay. He's got Evans. He's got Godwin. He's got Gronk. All of a sudden, Leonard Fournette comes off and gets involved in the program. I mean, it's a completely different team than what he had the year before with New England. If you're Aaron Rodgers and you've been playing your whole career with Devontae Adams and a bunch of secondary wide receivers, okay, and you want a challenge, well, go to a team like New York or go to a team like, not Houston, but like the Bears or Atlanta or a team like that where you can go to Carolina, elevate them to the next level. Let's see if you're worth $50 million. Yeah, I mean, if we're talking about the money is really, he doesn't need it or he's not going to spend it, then it comes down to, does he have a desire to win? And if he has a desire to win, well, then step up and you don't want to just be a shoo-in. You want to be the guy that leads that team, right?
I guess it depends how you look at it. No, I want to win. I said, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, let's take all the mental aspect of it. But you just want out of Green Bay. Maybe it's because you just take the GM there. Let's just say that's the case here. And forget over narcissism and everything else. Right. Well, I want to win. I'm 38 years old. I don't want to go to a team where I got to rebuild for a couple of years. You know, well, that maybe if I play as well, I can get us into the wild card round. We'll go from there. No, I don't want that. I don't have time for that. You know, I want to go to a team that's ready to win now, which is why, once again, Denver would make sense. All the pieces are there. The problem is the division you play in. It may not matter. Even Pittsburgh, by the way, has some of that as well if you go there. You know, yeah, the team is in place. I don't think it's as good as Denver, but they have pieces in place there to win. But then you got to worry about Lamar Jackson. You got to worry about Burrow. We'll see what the hell Cincinnati ends up, Cleveland ends up doing with Baker Mayfield. So you take all that out, it's still not perfect there. But that's what's why we're trying to figure out what Aaron Rodgers wants here, because we don't know what he wants. He hasn't come out and said what he wants, right? That's what's so frustrating about this. And we think Green Bay, okay, great place to play. But he seems to dislike. Right? He did, he hated McCarthy at the end. Right now he hates the GM. Right? He seems to hate everybody. Right? This man has a hard time. Which why the mental aspect of this is important, because he seems to have a hard time getting along with everybody. You know, I don't know what the deal is with him and the GM. I don't know what he was promised, if they broke promises, or if he just read something, read into something that really wasn't there. We don't know. Yeah, we just don't know. But I don't see him wanting to go to a, let's just say, I know that you would use an extreme example, but go to a Jets team. Always got to wait. You know, even if he's playing great, then I go to the playoffs next year. It's still going to take 3-4 years. I don't see him wanting to do that at all. Yeah, he's not going to have that kind of patience. He's going to want to go to a team, maybe not one that's ready-made like the Steelers and Broncos, but one that's got a shot. Yeah, he's not going to want to go to a complete rebuild when the Jets are still there.
Well, then if he wants a shot, right, but he still wants a little bit of a challenge, then maybe Washington at 40-1, because you have to face off against Dak. But we know the NFC East is a revolving door of teams that win it every other year, right? When was the last time we had a back-to-back division winner in the NFC East?
04, I believe.
Okay, so there's your opportunity. You have a defense that could keep you in games. Now we have to see how Chase Young responds from the ACL this year. I don't love the Washington weapons all that much. I love Sims. I love Terry McLaurin. I'm not that high on McKissick. I like Gibson. Logan Thomas coming off the ACL. He wasn't the same player. Maybe that's an area. 40-1 if Rodgers goes there. You can't say it's like the AFC West. It is a different animal in the AFC East, where you have pedestrian teams like the New York Giants. When we come back, we'll break down the Baker Mayfield situation in Cleveland. Coming right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Continuing the conversation in terms of the quarterback roundtable, which quarterback will be with their respective teams in 2022, talked about where maybe potentially Aaron Rodgers can fit. We brought up in the intro, George, about Baker Mayfield and how the team would explore all options. They're 13-1, which I still can't believe, to win the AFC this year. I think that's a stretch, even with a healthy Baker Mayfield, even if they had OBJ. Jarvis Landry, will he stay? Will he go? But you brought up an interesting segment about Jordan Love. Do the Green Bay Packers just trade Jordan Love for something? And potentially, would maybe Cleveland explore that to potentially push Baker Mayfield this year?
I think it would be. I think Cleveland does need to bring in somebody. You know, if you don't want to bring in, Love, I don't know what Love would cost. You know, he was a former first-round pick, certainly behind Rodgers. Hasn't looked good when he has played there, but he's going to cost you at least a second round. Oh, that's what they're going to push for. Actually, I'm sure they'd like a first. I doubt they're going to get that. You know, I'm curious, and I guess you would be the person to ask for this, Joe. If Jordan Love was coming out as a, you know, once again out of college, where would he rank with Corral, with Pickett, and those guys? Where do you think he would rank as far as, is he better than them? Same as them? Worse?
I think he's right in the middle. And again, he does have the intangibles and did play well. But again, I still think he's raw. Reed's progressions, I think he's still going to struggle. You saw him in that game against Kansas City. They scored 7 points. Garbage time touchdown with about 4 minutes left, 3 minutes left in that ball game. Now, granted, Kansas City, one of the best teams in the AFC. I understand that. But, you know, when you break him down with Matt Corral, Kenny Pickett, this quarterback class, I'll say this, George, is mediocre in my opinion. Every quarterback here has a major flaw. And we're talking about players that really played themselves into the first round. They weren't legitimate first-round talents at the start of their careers. And it's really where we stand right now in terms of just having a limited quarterback class. Malik Willis is raw. He's athletic. But we saw other athletic quarterbacks come in and struggle. Sam Howell was supposed to be the guy. Can't play in big games. Kenny Pickett, yes, played well, progressed. But again, Kenny Pickett, I'm still in amazement to think that Kenny Pickett is being looked at as a franchise quarterback. I think he's a good quarterback. I think he could play in the league. I think maybe, you know, he could get you adequate production, but I think he's honestly a backup in 3 or 4 years. And it wouldn't shock me if down the road he turned into Nate Peterman, not with the pick sixes throughout Nate Peterman's career, but Nate Peterman was thought of as being a potential savior starting quarterback and then came into the league and fizzled out. So we'll see how this class goes. I put Love maybe in top three in this class, but to me, that's not really saying a lot. You know, and that's the problem I think that the Green Bay Packers have in this whole situation. Because even if you give Rodgers what he wants, he's 38. Is he going to be like Tom Brady? Odds are no. He's not going to be playing until he's 44. At some point, the arm strength and the physical attributes are going to go south. Just when does that happen? Does that happen in 2 years or does it happen after this season?
It's a fair question. Yeah, it's fair. We don't know when Rodgers will deteriorate. We have seen quarterbacks play. Tom Brady, obviously. Granted, he's sort of an extreme example, an outlier as far as someone can play into his mid-40s and probably could have kept playing if he wanted to. But quarterbacks aren't hit like they were when you and I were growing up. It's just not the way the game is played nowadays. So they do seem to be able to last longer. I think as far as Love is concerned, and everything I hear is what you said is correct. He's right there with these guys, not really better, not really worse, don't really know. So, you know, Joe Lisi's GM of a team and you need a quarterback, would you rather take what you know in Hurts? Because we've seen him play a little bit. I have an idea, but nothing great there. Or do you want to go with the unknown? You know, I think most teams are going to go with the unknown, the guy they haven't seen yet, the guy that theoretically would have upside. I understand this is not fair to Hurts. We're sort of game, maybe a preseason here and there that we've seen. It's not fair, but I think that's how most GMs would look at it. I'd rather go draft pick it or whatever it might be. You know, I guess the other thing you might ask, well, do you want to spend a first-round pick on Pickett or, trading a second, trading maybe, a third and a sixth for Love, whatever it might be, whatever Green Bay is going to ask for there, whatever you can get them to come down to. That's really the question here. But I think most teams would probably say, you know what, I'd rather have the unknown here, the guy that has the upside, and that's going to be one of the rookies coming out this season.
Yeah, let's hear what the fans have to say. Give us a call, 844-843-6879, 844-843-6879. Let's hear who you like or want to see under center for your respective teams. And what do you think about Aaron Rodgers and the Jordan Love situation? Can Jordan Love start for any number of these teams? I do find it ironic, though, that all of a sudden Russell Wilson now is doing the same thing that Kyler Murray did, right? Russell Wilson starting to get a little bit of an itch now. It looks like I'm going to be under center in Seattle. I want out now. Now all of a sudden Russell Wilson is making some noise, right? And that's the outlier, is that, you know, if you're picking between all these quarterbacks, Rodgers, Russell Wilson are head and shoulders above anybody else, okay? In my opinion. Even though Wilson did not play up to par or his type of game, I still want Russell Wilson over Kirk Cousins and any other garbage quarterback, Carson Wentz, Jimmy Garoppolo. It's not even close. So the question remains, if Kyler Murray throws his hat in the ring in terms of the situation as well, I don't know if Kyler Murray has as much leverage as the other two quarterbacks that I just mentioned, George. Andrew, let me get your take on this, because Kyler Murray's a younger quarterback. What do you think, if he wants out of Arizona, does he have leverage based off of that pitiful performance against the LA Rams where he looked like a deer in the headlights?
I think you just answered your own question, Joe. No, I don't really think he has much of anything. I think he's going to be there for at least a little bit until something can be worked out. He doesn't have much negotiating leverage, tactics, whatever he's looking for to try to get out. Because I think the Cardinals realize if he plays well and he plays what he's capable of as, you know, being the top draft pick that he was taken as, you know, they have a really good franchise caliber quarterback that can really brighten the future. But if he's disgruntled and if he's not happy, it's going to be a problem for them. So they got a lot of stuff to figure out. But as of right now, no, I don't think he has that much. He hasn't given them much reason to do much of anything as far as when it comes to trading him or trying to move on from him in any way.
No, I agree. George, I mean, do you feel like Murray has leverage over Wilson at this point? I don't think so in any capacity.
Well, theoretically, neither one of them has leverage from where Andrew's going here. They're both on the contract. I would say
but
Wilson
if they
has...
If they want out, is what I'm saying. If they would like to demand a trade.
We know Wilson wants out, right? He may not be pushing, jumping up and down. He's a little wishy-washy on it, where he doesn't want to upset people. It's just weird. If you want out, we'll say it. All right, say you want out, you want to get the hell out of here. I think, once again, some of it does come from his wife as well. She would like to go to a more, major city, which I get that. You know, but does Wilson want to go through a rebuild, which looks like what Seattle's doing? Plus, it's a rough division here. So do either one of them have massive leverage? No, they're not free agents. Of course, you can always say, I'm not playing. You can always hold out. Don't go to training camp. Don't go to the mini camps. And you take the fines and see what happens there. You know, but do I think either one of them is going anywhere? I don't think Murray is going anywhere. You know, I don't. You know, I know we're hearing what his agent and his buddy posted today, that, you know, he won't be playing for $5.5 million this season. That's what he said. In other words, he's threatening a holdout if he's not a contract extension. I think that's all February bluster. You know, what'll happen? Maybe hold out at the mini camps. I can see that. But once training camps coming in late July, early August, yeah, I think Murray will be there. So I don't think either guy's going to be playing for a new team. That being said, I think we're going to hear about it. You know, oh, there'll be rumor. This guy's going there. This guy's going there. When was the last time we really saw a top quarterback traded? A top quarterback trade? You can't win with. And either one, the Cardinals or Hawks, are winning this season without him. Right? They're not. So what kind of hole do you have to get for these guys? Everyone's a little down on Wilson. Yeah, he was awful when he came back from the finger injury, right? But once that thing healed, he came back too early. He was back to Russell Wilson again. He was fine. He would make any team a threat, you know, a Super Bowl threat. Every team would love to have him there. Murray, yeah, he had an awful playoff game. He was terrible. Deer in the headlights, whatever it might be, he was awful. And Kingsbury certainly has questions to answer about why his teams always choke at the end of the season. You know, but either way, Murray, yeah, people want Murray, but I don't see their teams dying to get rid of him because, once again, we had one bad playoff game or because his hand injury didn't play well. You'd have to overwhelm them with an offer, and even then, it doesn't make sense because you can't win without these quarterbacks. You think you're drafting a Wilson, you're drafting a Murray? Good luck with that. It's not happening. We just don't see these kind of guys be dealt unless they have leverage here. We think Rodgers has some leverage. Yeah, I don't think Wilson and Murray have really much of any other than saying, well, then I'm not playing this season. And like I said, when was the last time we saw someone do this and just eat all that money? It's not like you become a free agent next year. Your contract just gets told. You gain almost nothing.
See, I think Wilson has a little leverage winning the Super Bowl, taking his team to another one. He can always say, it was the offensive line issues. They didn't put playmakers around me outside of DK Metcalf. You know, my wife wants, you know, a bigger market, which she has already mentioned previously. He's been linked to New York. The one thing I'll say about Russell Wilson, and I've been saying it all along, not the same player in terms of breaking, contain, and improvising. And if Seattle's 36-1, I did say, as long as he's under center and they do re-sign Rashad Penny, I think I could see them potentially making a run if he gets back into form. But you look at some of these other teams, Cleveland, 28-1 to win the Super Bowl. Arizona, 28-1 to win the Super Bowl. I have no confidence in Kyler Murray to lead this team. After that playoff game and that loss of how bad he was, he's going to have to show me double what he showed me in 2021. He's going to have to step up, stay in the pocket, and really put up numbers towards the end of the regular season. When we come back, we'll be breaking down some of the other teams in the AFC and NFC coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Continuing the conversation of the NFL quarterbacks around the AFC and the NFC, left off with Kyler Murray and Arizona, and I just said flat out, listen, if Arizona does have Kyler Murray under center next year, he's going to have to show me something. They're not getting my money at 28-1 to win the Super Bowl. The way he performed, scared, didn't know where he was going with the football. It's one thing to lose. It's another to get abused in terms of a playoff game. Even though it was against the Super Bowl champs, that was a team he dominated week number three, I believe, or four in L.A. They came to play and really shut down that offense. So we'll see how it plays out throughout the offseason for Arizona and Kyler Murray. I think he came out with a letter about 10, 15 minutes ago saying that he definitely, in fact, wants to be an Arizona Cardinal. Oh, that's great, Kyler. You know, I mean, you're basically a third-year pro. At this point in your career, you definitely want to stay with the team that drafted you number one overall. Thanks for everything. It's amazing. It really is. George, I do want to bring up, before we talk about Carson Wentz, because that's another story that came up over the weekend, which I can't believe. But there was talk that I brought up in the intro in terms of the NFL Combine. Top two players at their respective positions, Derek Stingley for LSU and Matt Corral for Ole Miss, the quarterback, will not perform in the drills section or compete. In Indianapolis. Thoughts about that? Do you think it's beneficial, detrimental? I think if you're going to go and you get invited, you go, you perform, you showcase what you have. I hate these guys that say, I'm not going to perform. I don't want to hurt my draft stock. That's what it's all about as far as I'm concerned.
See, now, you and I are always going to see difference on this because I think this is the right thing to do, mainly because now you get to control things. Right, you're going to play your pro day, your home facility, your environment that you're comfortable with, right? So you get to control everything. So now, once again, for top athletes, for top draft picks, I mean, you said earlier, and I agree, these guys are going to be top 20 picks. You know, they're going in the first round no matter what. All right, so you want to be able to control everything. Where you go to the combine, things are out of your control. You're doing what they want you to do. And let's face it, some of these things they ask you to do this combine are completely idiotic. You know, I like the combine. It's fun to watch, and I'll see the highlights of everything as well, and I'll pay attention. But, you know, it is the underwear Olympics. I've never understood this, Joe, at the combine. Why aren't running backs running with a football? They're just running.
I mean, why not with the football, a helmet and shoulder pads?
Yes, I mean, yes. Completely agree. Why aren't they running? When was the last time we saw a wide receiver run without shells, you know, without his shoulder pad? Come on. That's what I want to see. What you could do in a 40-yard dash in your underwear, I don't care. That's not football. What can you do? You got your helmet on, you got the pants on. It's a different kind of running here. How come you're not holding the football? You know, once again, it's a different kind of running. So that's always bewildered me that they don't do that. I just find that strange.
But let me ask you this, because there is an added factor involved now with the sports gambling aspect. If a player doesn't perform, right, then you have the opportunity to be, let's say, overtaken at your position by another player. Right, last year it was Surtain and J.C. Horn, based off of Horn's performance. He came on at the end of the year, obviously for South Carolina, and then had a very good pro day, did the 41-inch vertical that really propelled him into the top 10. So what about that aspect? Because we are a gambling network, and we talk about the way you can maybe get a tip or an edge, right, per se. So we have a handful of guys that could potentially be number one or top 10. That could affect you if you don't showcase what you have. And let's say another player that might be equal at your position goes to the combine and just goes all out and goes off. And now next thing you know, you're behind that guy because you didn't showcase what you have.
Oh, you're right. There is certainly a risk involved here. I mean, once again, you could get a GM who's like, oh, you know, I can't believe this guy's not going to the combine. He's going to go his pro day. Forget it. I'm going to take the other player above him now when it comes. You absolutely could get that. No doubt. But once again, you can go to the combine, not do well, and you fall behind him anyway. And you go to your pro day, and you do well in those conditions, and you move up. But I agree with you. There's certainly risk involved. You could annoy, piss off, alienate, you know, the guy who's making the picks and the final decision. He wouldn't go to the combine. You know, yes, there's always that risk there, and it's a risk-reward thing that these players and the agents have to weigh here about which one's the best way to do it. But for me, I think it also depends on the player. You know, is he going to get nervous at the combine? Is he more comfortable with the pro day? I have to weigh that, too. You know, where does that player want to be? And I think for the most part, the pro day does make sense. You know, but also, you go to the combine, you can hobnob a little bit. You got other players, other teams, you know. You're absolutely right. It's a risk-reward thing going on here. But personally, I'm not surprised. I'm never surprised. I don't like it. Me, personally, I like to see the players go to the combine, too. We don't, you know, just I guess I kind of like that everyone's there kind of atmosphere. But I'm not surprised these players don't. And like right. I said, I think it, in some ways it probably is the right thing to do, depending on the player's makeup and what's happening here and what you think they're going to do well in. You may think when they make you do the combine, he's going to do terrible at, but you know the pro day, you know, they're not making you, you know, leap and hit those little things. So maybe that's better for you. Maybe you can run on a different kind of track where you'll run faster, whatever it might be. I get it.
Andrew, you're a top 10 pick in this year's NFL draft. Are you competing in Indianapolis in a couple weeks?
No, I actually have a scheduling commitment that was priorly made, and unfortunately, I'm going to have to forgo the start of my NFL career, but I would not count me out for future drafts and combines. We'll see.
You would opt out, honestly, if you're a top 10 selection at your respective position, are you competing in Indianapolis, or are you just walking around saying hi, having, you know, the steak dinners with the NFL teams, answering a couple of questions? What are you doing?
Well, to me, I think it's about commitment and showing that you're committed to the game and showing that this is what you're capable of, you know, outside of, you know, watching college film and things like that. I think it's important for the have that one-on-one kind of a, at least a start anyway, with players establishing a relationship with NFL, you know, coaches or scouts or whatever the case may be at the combines. I think it's important to show that you're committed. So, but I also understand, you know, does the combine hold any weight and things like that? It's not what it used to be. I understand both sides, but at least to me, I want to show that I'm at least committed to the game of football and committed to my career and committed to whoever wants to, you know, engage in draft talks and stuff like that. I think it's important to start that as early as you can.
Yeah, and that's interesting to hear, because that was the same type of situation with Carson Wentz not too long ago, that he wowed all of the GMs and scouts, national champion at North Dakota State, right? Leader of the team, stepped up, big, strong, big arm. Fast forward to about, what, 5 or 6 years now he's been in the league, right? 2017, 2016, right, George? 5 years later, he's a has-been quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts that Frank Reich and the crew are looking to ship out because he completely sucked this year and couldn't lead Indianapolis back to the playoffs, got outdueled by Trevor Lawrence in a game that they were a 15.5-point favorite. But I heard potentially, and I can't believe this, that Pittsburgh could be a landing spot for Carson Wentz. If I'm Pittsburgh and you're giving me a choice, Aaron Rodgers or Carson Wentz, why go? I'm not taking I'm telling Carson Wentz, go hit your ride, buddy. We're going with the guy that at least has the strong arm, won a Super Bowl, and at least in big games steps up. Are you kidding me now?
Well, we're not making that comparison. No one's comparing Wentz to Rodgers. That would be just silly here. If Pittsburgh were to do this, let's just say for giggles this happens here. We're going to hear a truckload of rumors, by the way, of every quarterback going everywhere. But let's just say this happens here. This can't be is it stopgap? Are we talking they did this because they drafted Pickett or Corral? All right, I'm okay with that then. I get it. You need someone to maybe play a month, maybe play half a season, maybe play the whole season. Who knows? You redshirt them. Whatever it might be. I can understand that, Joe. I wouldn't be thrilled about it, but I can understand that. But if you think that Wentz is your quarterback of the future, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, he failed at the end of Philadelphia, certainly failed at Indianapolis, and he might have to take a Frank Reich down with him, because if they do trade Wentz, or this doesn't work out in Indianapolis for Wentz, you traded how many draft picks for him? As you said, you could beat Trevor Lawrence in week 17, week 18, whatever it might have been, to get in the playoffs here. Well, that's not good. Let me ask you this, George.
Pittsburgh, because we talked about this with Wetzel as well, right? Well, Pittsburgh's a team that if they acquire that veteran quarterback, they go from 50-1 to 30-1 just because, you know, this is based off the Mason Rudolph effect, 50-1 right now. Let me ask you this. Do they budge an inch if Carson Wentz is under center next year? Give me anybody but him. I mean, I understand the correlation, played at Philly, coming back home. They have a tight end, which I mentioned, Freiermuth, which is always his basic security blanket. He didn't have that in Indianapolis with Jack Doyle, who sucks. I mean, Can it work out to a degree where could they get back to the play? With an aging Ben Roethlisberger, they still made it to the wild card round. But I got to be honest with you. This is Carson Wentz. This is a deer in the headlights. This is check down city, baby. Could he get it to Deontay Johnson? Could he get it to Juju if he's there? Could he get it to those playmakers?
I love the way you just crush Jack Doyle for no reason. No, really, Jack Doyle.
He's terrible.
All right? He had no place in this conversation. I guess my first thought was, well, is Wentz any worse than Roethlisberger? Roethlisberger had no arm left last year. I guess you could look at it that way. He's no worse than him. He's a stopgap. Yeah, just a stopgap. That's all he is. That's all he would be. I can't just see this being a move for the future here. And what's the course, by the way? If we're talking, it's a giveaway, fourth-round pick, fifth-round pick, fine. It's a one-year thing. I don't mind it.
Two garbage cans and a Schlitz plan. How about that?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Two garbage cans and a Schlitz.
You know what? Schlitz, don't underestimate Schlitz. It's right there with Jack Doyle. And then I'm okay with it. Like I said, as long as you have another plan, Joe, I need to know what their other plan is. This is part of the plan. Wentz, what's the other part? Assuming it's a rookie quarterback and you just want Wentz to, I don't know if mentor would be the right word, but, you know, hold it down until that quarterback is ready, then I'm good with this. But if you're telling me it's, you know, it's going to be Wentz and Rudolph, that's right. Not good. Then exactly. I wouldn't be on board with this whatsoever.
No, me neither. And I'll tell you this. If you're going to get Wentz, I want Rudolph over Wentz. Because now you got Carson Wentz that didn't even make it through training camp last year because he got hurt. And he's going to go to a new system. Understand that? The knock on him is that he's not a locker room or a film guy. I'd rather go with Mason Rudolph and take my chances. At the end of the day, at least the kid understands the system, has been there a while, and it will fight hard. I'm not saying he's great, but if you're giving me the lesser of two evils, Mason Rudolph or Carson Wentz, there's no way I'm going to that bum, Carson Wentz. I'm going to Mason Rudolph. The amount of money and what Frank Reich jockeyed up for Carson Wentz, and look at the finished product. That's on Frank Reich. He lobbied for his guy. Well, you got him, buddy. You missed the playoffs. You don't have Eberflus either now. He's at Chicago. Can't believe that hire. When we come back, we'll wrap it up. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Wrapping up today's show, we've been talking about the teams in terms of quarterback needs. George, I'm going to give you like three quarterbacks. Kirk Cousins, Carson Wentz, and I'll throw in Jameis Winston. Which one would you want on your team?
Oh, Cousins. I'll take Cousins. I mean, out of those three, I'll take Cousins. Yep. I understand there's not a lot of upside there, but, you know, he's the best. He's the most consistent of the trio there, so give me Cousins pretty easily there.
Yeah, see, I struggle with Cousins in the sense of I like Kirk Cousins because I think he has the potential, but in a big spot, he always disappoints. That's the biggest thing. Prime time, you know, it really is the lesser of two evils. Which one do you want, right?
Oh, yes.
I think I might actually. I mean, I would take. If we're all right, let's expand it. Jimmy Garoppolo and Teddy Bridgewater in that group. I think out of that group, I would take Bridgewater. I still believe in him more than any other guy on that list. Who would you take?
No, I'm still taking Cousins. But it's closer. I think I would go Garoppolo before Bridgewater. Wentz is last out of this, by the way, for anybody wondering. Winston, I think Winston does have a shot, you know, to really still be something. So I think there's some upside there. And if you wanted to go with it, I could see you doing that. But I think you're also going to pay for – he's not going to throw 30 interceptions, but he's going to throw some interceptions there. But I think Peyton may have gotten through to him, so I can see him being there. Ridgewater, I have very – there's no upside here. There's none. You know, I'm going to pass on him. Wentz, thank you.
What you see is what you get with Teddy B. That's why at least I know what I'm getting out of the quarterback position. The others, flip a coin. flip a coin, it's like it's erratic city. And I know Teddy B has been a little bit turnover prone since he left the New Orleans Saints, but at the end of the day, play with Carolina, you're number one. And I don't know, Vic Fangio as your head coach, you got to get a pass on that one. You know, we'll see. We can break this down tomorrow. For George Kurtz, our great producer, Andrew Torres, I'm Joe Lisi. Have a great day, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow with the Super Bowl talk, free agent talk, NFL Combine as well. Donnie Wrightside, Kevin Walsh coming up next. Have a great day.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.